this, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may win Christ. He's greater. Greater than anything that you've ever accomplished, greater than anything you've ever amassed, greater than any dream you could ever come up with, any vision for your life, he's greater. He is greater. We live in a world where we are pursuing so many different things. I read in Time magazine how men are spending millions and millions of dollars here in the United States trying to get their testosterone levels right, trying to get beefed up, trying to look really good, all that. I mean, just that's what they're pursuing. And Paul says, everything, my reputation, the respect, my pedigree, my performance, everything, I consider it rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Greater. A couple weeks ago, we returned from an amazing retreat called Go Deep Retreat, where students and leaders got together for a weekend, and we just wanted to get into relationships and friendships together, and we wanted to get into the presence of God as we launched back into the school year. And man, was it great. We had so much fun. One afternoon, we did this huge football game, and it was, I don't know how many people were playing. I mean, it was like 20 on 20 or something. Like, you're not supposed to do that, you know? It was like all these people playing football. I couldn't catch anything that day. You know, you kind of go up there like, yeah, you know, I used to play touch football when I was in middle school. So I'm thinking, I'm going to be pretty good, and drops. Awesome. Next one. Oh, this is great. Don't throw to me anymore, all right? Throw to the seventh graders, because they can catch better than me today. And I will say, though, that our team won. I'm not trying to brag, and I'm not trying to say it's a big deal because we don't go to Go Deep Retreat to win, but our team won. And there might be some of you out there that were on the losing team. Hey, we're all winners here, except for you guys, because we won. All right, I just want to, it's not a big deal, but, you know, yeah. We played this game where you run around a circle and crack eggs on people's heads. And I find that to be exhilarating. I mean, it is awesome. And it's also a great way to meet people, you know? Kind of breaks the ice a little bit, just crashing it on their head, and they do it to me. Concussion. You go, oh, three fingers, all right. And you run around the circle and you chase them, and it was fun. Some people think that, you know, camps, retreats, mission trips, and such are just about the fun, and we do have a lot of fun, but tell you what, we want to get into those times, and this is why we do it, because we want to meet with God. We want God to change lives, and we take students who need life change that can only come through Jesus Christ. God was so powerful. There were, I think, 25 people, students and adults, that experienced healing, divine healing, physical, emotional, healing of scoliosis, healing of ankle, foot, thumb, I mean, hearing. Like, God was just like, I love you, I love you, I love you. And it was awesome. There were students that were filled with the Holy Spirit, students that received Christ into their life. I have to say that my favorite part, though, was one morning I was just sitting there and I was talking to a high school student who hasn't placed his faith in Jesus Christ yet, and I got to tell him about Jesus. I got to tell him about Jesus. I got to tell him who Jesus is. So he didn't really know. And I got to tell him what Jesus has done for him, the life that he offers and the forgiveness. Tell you what, favorite part. Oh my goodness. God is good. I want to just say a huge thanks to all the parents who you invest money so your students can be a part of this, or it's grandson, granddaughter, and you make it happen. And not only that, to the leaders, adult leaders who take off of work, volunteer their time, and they pour into these students. I'll be honest, like retreats, camps, and mission trips that we do with the students, they are not, I would say, restful times. You know, you're like, I just fish for like 5 hours. We're cracking eggs on people, all right? And we're going to lay in tonight praying for people. And hats off if I had one, to all the leaders who devote their time and energy to pour into students. Parents, hopefully you're thankful for them. These people just do so much, and God uses them in great ways. We can do that. Thank you. You know, coming back from a retreat, a missions trip and such, us youth pastors do a few things that are just real important. You got to do them, and you know, they're just kind of spiritual, kind of not, but you come back and you're just like, you're tired, but you're exhilarated because God just showed up in powerful ways, changed lives. And then the day after this go-deep retreat, I do what youth pastors do on the day after, and that is you got to wash and vacuum the vans, right? You got this powerful retreat. All right, get the van keys. Let's go. We're going to go and vacuum this thing out. It's amazing, the crumbs that are there. And they blame it on the students. I know it's the prime timers. I'm just saying right now. Come on. Blame it on the students. I'm joking. So I'm vacuuming out. And I was driving the van, and I heard this piece on the radio, and it was a piece about a soldier from Afghanistan that had come back, and they told his story, or he was telling his story, how that he was on a routine patrol, and he stepped on, I think it's called an IED, I don't know all the terminology, he stepped on it, and it blew up, and immediately he became one of only a few quadruple amputees from the Iraqi or Afghanistan war. I mean, all four limbs that had been blown off. And he had survived, and I was just stopped in my tracks as I heard him talk, because he was positive, he was upbeat, and here's what he said. These are his words. Just all in a day's work. I just came back with less. A couple hours later, I was driving another church van, because we have a few, and getting that vacuumed out and everything, and I heard another piece on the radio, and this was an interview with Chris Long, who plays for the St. Louis Rams. I don't watch the Rams. I don't know why you would, but maybe some people like him, and this guy, Chris Long, I guess he's pretty good defensive end for them, maybe one of their best players, and they were talking to him just about his life, and this is what he said in describing his life. It's all about just pleasing the man in the mirror. That's what it's all about, just pleasing the guy in the mirror. And you see those two contrasting stories, and you see each of them had vision, but their vision was very different. One had a vision for the freedom of his country. One has the vision just to please himself. Vision. You can define it in so many different ways, but this morning, if we could simplify, I would say vision is your why, what, and your where. Your why, your what, and your where. Why do I do what I do? What's important to me, and where am I going? Why do what I do? What's important to me, and where in the world am I going? That's your vision. That's the vision of your life. And this morning, I want to speak to you about greater vision. Specifically, this morning, I'm talking about getting greater vision. And then next week, I'm going to be talking about living greater vision. I'd like to invite you to turn to Acts chapter 9 with me this morning. In Acts chapter 9, we're going to be reading the account of a man by the name of Saul. Now, just a few moments ago, I read a scripture from Philippians 3 that was written by a man named Paul. Same guy. It's not a misspelling in the scripture. His name was Saul. He was also called Paul. So many of you have heard of Paul the Apostle, who wrote many books in the New Testament. God used him mightily. Wrote that in Philippians chapter 3. If we can just rewind. This is the account of Saul before doing anything at all for Jesus. Acts chapter 9. It says, meanwhile, in verse 1, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Can we pray, Lord? All that we want is you. All that we need is your word and your empowerment. Pray that you'll speak clearly into our hearts. God, that we will be inspired to live with greater vision in our lives. Amen. Acts chapter 9. Here is Saul. It says he was breathing out murderous threats. And in the Greek, this word literally means to breathe in. So to breathe in. So meaning he had this thought and this desire, and what was important to him was to murder believers. Acts 22 speaks of this, and to arrest men and women, even arresting women. Come on, arresting men and women and taking them to prison. That's what he was doing. That's what he was about. And the scripture says that he was breathing that in. It had been so continual in his life that it was like literally an athlete who needs oxygen to keep running. If any of you exercise, we won't do a show of hands, but you need oxygen to stay on that treadmill. You need oxygen to play that football game where you can't catch anything. You need oxygen to keep going. In the same way, literally, Saul was breathing in and breathing out this vision to take out Christians, this vision to murder them and to put them in prison. That was his vision. That was Saul's why, what, and where at this time in his life. It's why he did what he did. It was important to him, and that's where he was going. And on this particular day, he was going to Damascus, and he was going to go into the synagogues. And it was about a 200-mile walk, ride at that time in the history of Israel, 200 miles that he was going with some guys with him in order to arrest Christians. That was his vision. And I want you to know this morning that everyone has vision. You might not agree with Saul's vision to arrest and persecute believers, but it was his vision. That's what he was about. That was his why, what, and where. Every one of you has vision in your life. You might not be able to articulate it, but I would say this, that if a perceptive person spent several days with you and watched how you lived, what you talked about, how you spent your money, what you were about, what's important to you, they could discern real quickly what your vision is. Your vision. Saul had a vision. Saul had a vision. Everyone has a vision. Saul just needed greater vision. Absolutely just needed greater vision. Going on in this passage, it says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Wonder where that came from. God, right? He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Saul just had an encounter with Jesus, the living God, on the road to Damascus. He had vision. He was going. He was going to do his thing, what was important to him. And God stops him in his tracks because he was going to give him greater vision. You see, greater vision comes from God. Everyone has vision, but greater vision comes from God. Look back at the Old Testament. You see Abraham, he's having a great life. He's married, no kids, but he's married and he's got some land. He's living with his family, and then God comes and gives him greater vision. I'm going to make you into a father of many nations. Whoa, greater vision. You look at Moses. Moses doing his thing, and then God began to stir in his heart, says in Acts 7, but then he flees Egypt for some bad choices, and he gets out into the wilderness for 40 years. He's out there. He gets married, probably starts having kids. His brothers, it's hanging out with him. He things are going well. He's probably got some land. He's a shepherd. He's got some animals, and then shows up at the burning bush, and there's God. Whew. I'm going to take you, and you're going to rescue the Israelites and deliver them from the oppression of the Egyptians. Greater vision. Encounter with God, greater vision. How do you like it for Gideon? You don't want to go into Gideon too much, but just real quick, Gideon was like, hey, I'm the least in the family, I'm the most insignificant, I'm unimportant, all of this. And then God sends the angel of the Lord and says, by the way, you're going to go rescue the Israelites from the Midianites. What? An encounter with God, greater vision. An encounter with God, greater vision. That's what Saul needed in his life. He needed greater vision. And God had it for him. God, without going into a lot of detail here, speaks to a man named Ananias, a faithful believer, sends Ananias to go and to speak to Saul just as his messenger with this vision. Saul, you ready? You're blind. You haven't eaten for 3 days. You just got just totally demolished by God on the road. I mean, you're just on your face. You don't know what hits you. Let me tell you something, Saul. I got some great vision for you. And he sends Ananias and he says this, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and before their kings and before the people of Israel. And I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer for my name. Acts 13, Paul reiterates this message from God, that God has sent him to be a light and to spread his name. Acts 22, he articulates again by saying that God was sending him to the ends of the earth with this gospel. Greater vision. This greater vision comes from God. And this greater vision in your life, in Saul's life, changes everything. It changes everything. Check this out. It says, Ananias went to his house, verse 17, and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like really nasty, gross scales fell from Saul's eyes. I added the nasty, gross, but they were gross, I bet. And he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now get this. Verse 20, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, try to go back in your brain. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Do you remember where Saul was going to arrest believers? Synagogues. Paul, smartest man alive right there. Way to go. He is, actually. You should get to know him. I'm for real. All right. Saul is being sent to the synagogues. He's being sent to the synagogues by the religious leaders. He's going to arrest Christians. And now we find in verse 20 that he is now again going to the synagogues, except this time he's not going to arrest believers. He's going to proclaim that Jesus is who he says he was, okay? He now arrives in the synagogue with greater vision. You see, when you have greater vision in your life, things change. Sometimes your location doesn't change. Many times it doesn't change. What changes is your vision and the effect that you have. Some people think, well, man, God's given me greater vision, so I need to change jobs. Just quit my job tomorrow, and I'm going to go, and I don't know, whatever. And maybe that's God's will for you. I would check it out, though, first before you do that. But many people think, I got to go and do something drastic. Well, here's the thing with Saul. You got to get, he was heading to the synagogue, and then God gave him greater vision, and he continued to go to the synagogue. It might not be a matter of you changing jobs in order to experience greater vision. Maybe it's just you going to your job with greater vision. You know, it might not be you as a high school student be like, Mom, okay, God's given me a greater vision. He's wanting me to actually care for my friends and tell them about Christ. And I think, you know, I need to quit school, first of all, and I'm gonna try to get into another school. I think that'd be the best approach. Or I'm gonna quit my college and go to another college because, you know, I mean, God's given me this greater vision. So maybe it's not a matter of you switching schools. Maybe it's just a matter of you showing up at school with a greater vision. Dads, husbands, you don't need to go find another family. Maybe you need to go to your family with a greater vision. God has a greater vision for us. Do you want that in your life? Romans chapter 8 says in the message that we're not created, and we have not been sent in order to have a timid and grave, like a grave-tending life. We have been given a resurrected life, a life of expectation, a life of adventure, where we're like, what's next, God? A life of adventure, a greater vision. Saul was heading this way. God downloads greater vision into his life. He still goes the same way. This time he shows up a little bit different. God had transformed him and transformed his heart. He transformed his why, what, and his where. Now, all of a sudden, why is he doing what he's doing? What is important to him? Where is he going? The very thing that was missing from his vision that made it a great vision was Jesus. He had the arms and legs. He had the passion. He had the heart. He had the desire. He had most likely memorized the entire Old Testament and could quote it. Okay, that's not an exaggeration. He was a Jew of Jews, Pharisee of Pharisees. He's a Hebrew. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. And all this pedigree and all this experience and all this, but what he was missing in his vision was Jesus. What he was missing was Jesus. And so God gave him a greater vision, and it had Jesus written all over it. And so now, why was he doing what he was doing? It's because Jesus. Well, what's important to him? It's Jesus. Where is he going? Wherever Jesus tells him to go. A greater vision for your life. How do you get greater vision for your life? Because most of us have not experienced that, where we've been walking along on the road to Starbucks, and all of a sudden the light shines from heaven and go bam, and you're on the ground and you're muddy and you're crying and God is speaking to you and you're like, what is happening? Most of us haven't experienced that. Saul did. But how do you get greater vision? Well, first of all, let me say this. God has greater vision for you. And I sense there might be some hesitancy as you, maybe as you've heard this story, and you're thinking, well, that's Saul. Right? That was Saul, remember Paul? Like, he wrote a lot of the New Testament. God used, and you think, well, God doesn't have Saul's vision for you. He has greater vision for you. Scripture says that you are his masterpiece. You are his workmanship. You've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has ordained beforehand for you to do. All right? God has great vision for you. So how do you get it? How do you get it? Well, very simply, from this passage, let's just pull out a few things. First of all, stop. Just stop. Just stop. We're in a go, go, go culture, aren't we? You ever drive home, you're like, man, I gotta do this. And, you know, you got your list of things, and you got to run into the house and you gotta do this. And, oh, I'll take the kids to soccer. And, okay, all right, come back here. Oh, yeah. I mean, just, there's, oh, the landings mode. Awesome. That's great. I have time for that. Sure. And you just go, 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 go. A lot of things. How do you get greater vision? You know what it's going to take? Stop. Now, God did that for Saul. Stopped him. Bam! There he is on the ground. Stopped. All right? Red light. You just hit it, all right? God stopped him. But how many know that sometimes there are life moments that stop us? There's moments, good or bad, that come into our life that kind of, that cause us to be like, wait, what am I about? Why am I on this earth? What am I passionate for? I remember when our kids were born. Never forget, any parent, you never forget when your kids are born and you're holding them like this, and I'm trying to figure out how to hold, and I'm like, first one, like, yeah. You know, it's like, which hand goes where? Lacey's resting, I have no idea why. I mean, she's had a kid. I mean, what's the big deal, right? Joking, never had a kid, but I heard it's bad. So holding my little one, and it was just like, time stood still. Time stood still. What's my vision for this little one? What kind of example am I going to set for this little one? Do I want them to grow up and be like me? Whew. Time stood still. Life moment causes you to stop. There's moments, maybe it's losing a job, it's an illness, it's a sickness, maybe conversation with your spouse, divorce comes up in the conversation. You're like, wait a second. You know, kids are making bad, wait a second. And you stop, a life moment. There are also God moments that cause us to stop. You know, like maybe some of you experience like receiving God's burden for something. Maybe it's for missions. I got to see a church planted there. We're not going to let a village over there never hear about Jesus. We're gonna do it, all right? Or we're going to try to help end sex trafficking in the United States because it's horrible. And we want to, I want to make sure that kids have a big brother. You know what? Whatever it might be, there's burdens that put on your heart or sometimes divine specific callings that are on your heart that you can't get away from that God just downloads, deposits in you, and it's a God moment. And you could take people back. Not all of us maybe have experienced that, but you could, some people out there, you could probably take others to a moment, to a place and say, right there, wherever it was, not in this building, but somewhere where God spoke and it was a God moment and it stopped you and you're like, wait a second. Whew. Let me process this. Let me receive this. God did this for Saul. Boom, you're down. It's time to stop, buddy. I encourage you to do that for yourself. I encourage you, as busy as our culture is, to take time this week to just stop. Create a margin of time where you can just consider, God, do you have a greater vision for my marriage? God, I'm 20, 40, 60, 80 years old. God, what's your vision for me in these next years? This next month, this next year? God, what's your vision for this relationship? We're getting kind of serious. What's your vision for my kids? They're growing up so fast. What's your vision for me and my wife at the empty nest? What's your vision for me? You're a single parent. What's your vision? God, I have this job and it's great and it's awesome. It pays the bills, but is there more? God, is there a greater vision that you have for me when I show up to work every day? Man, I'm a freshman in high school and I'm going there every day and kind of have to, state law type of thing. And, you know, you got your schoolwork and sports or whatever else. God, is there a greater vision for me? Is there a greater vision for me? Is there a greater reason for just getting my education? Although that's good, is there a greater reason for me to be there? I know one high school student told me this week that And they didn't use these terms, God's given me a greater vision, but this student cares for their friends and they want to influence people. And they just, man, I just noticed this kid that's in a wheelchair. I want to pray for him. I was like, sweet, go pray for him. You know, greater vision. I'm still going to school. I'm still going to my job. I'm still going home to my family. But am I just going to go with vision or am I going to go with greater vision? Greater vision that comes from God. Stop. Stop. And secondly, submit. Surrender. Humble yourself, however you want to say it. Where you come to the place and say, God, I'm stopping. I'm considering. I'm thinking about where I'm at and where you're wanting me to go. And I see kind of what's been important to me, but God, is there something greater? You want me to focus more on this or that or whatever it might be? God, I need something greater. I need it from you because I can't come up with it on my own. And that's very humbling. It's very humbling for us to say, I don't have it all together. I don't have it all figured out. It's humbling to say, you know what? I've worked hard and I've got to this point, but God, is there anything greater that you want to do through me? Humbled. Now, once again, God did this for Saul. He was humble, all right? He was, no question about it. Saul was humbled. You have to try to put your mind into this situation. I mean, he was walking along Damascus. He was the guy. Like, he was one of the smartest guys. He was most likely one of the best dressed guys. He had a contingency of people that he was leading. He was leading men. He was leading men to Damascus. All right, come on, guys, let's go. Can we stop the bathroom? No, come on, let's go. He's leading men. He's leading men to Damascus. That's just what he's doing. He's leading them. He's in charge. And then all of a sudden, God stops him. God humbles him. He's on the ground. His clothes are all messed up. He's all dirty. He's got snot and tears coming all over his face. I mean, you think I'm exaggerating? Come on. This guy was messed up. Who are you? He's scared. Jesus is like, I'm Jesus, and you're going to go to Damascus. He's like, oh, okay, you know? And so he gets up. When he gets up, he's just messed up all everywhere, right? He gets up, and he's blind. He can't see. The eyes that he had used to study the Old Testament law, the eyes that he'd used to memorize the Old Testament law, the eyes that he'd used to write up these letters so they can go to the synagogues, the eyes that he had used to lead his men, come on, guys, let's go. You come with me. Let's go. Suddenly, blind. Nothing. No vision. No, he had vision. Now he has no vision. No vision. All of a sudden, instead of leading these guys, Scripture says that when he gets up, he's blind and he has to be led into the city by the hand by these guys. Now, I don't know about you, but that's humbling. If you can't see, you got snot, tears everywhere, your clothes are all messed up, you're muddy because there's a huge mud puddle that God sent you into, and now some dudes are holding your hand. I mean, come on. Is that humbling or what? As he's going into this town. I mean, he was planning on coming in and being the guy. And I'm taking prisoners and we're going back and the Christians are afraid of him. And now he shows up in town not as afraid. We're not as afraid now. He's coming, he's messed up. He just had an encounter with God. God did this for him. I encourage you, this week, would you do that for yourself? Would you humble yourself? Before God, say, God, I need you. God, search my heart and look at my life. And this is where I'm living. I'm 14. I'm 54. Whatever it is, God, this is where I'm at. Is this where you want me to be? God, is there a greater vision for my life, for my marriage, for my family, whatever it might be? It's humbling. But I'll tell you what, I would rather be humble than be humbled. And we can walk with pride and be like, oh, I got this. And maybe God will or will not knock us down, have an encounter with him. He did for Saul. I'd rather be humble than be humbled. Humble before God, said Jesus, I need you, I need greater vision, and I know it comes from you. It comes from you. The one thing that was missing in Saul's vision was what? Jesus. Jesus, I need you. I need a greater vision for my relationship with you. I need a greater vision for the ministries I'm involved in. God, I need greater vision. Stop, submit, and then finally seek. For 3 days, Scripture says Paul is praying. For 3 days. He wasn't eating. He wasn't drinking. You know what he was doing for 3 days? He was not watching SportsCenter. For 3 days, he was praying. He was seeking God. God, I hardly even know you yet, but God, I need you. God, I don't even have vision. I need vision, God. I need greater vision. Well, where am I going in my life? And for those 3 days, he was stopped. And for those 3 days, he was humbled. And in those 3 days, he was crying out to God. And when you cry out to God, when you seek, you will find. When you seek God with all of your heart, God is so faithful. He comes and meets you. He comes and speaks to you. And we see that in this scripture where God sent a man named Ananias to him, giving him the greater vision of God for his life. Sometimes we can think about a man named Saul and we can say, God really loved that guy a lot. God really loved him. And sometimes we can look around a room like this and see other people. Maybe they look so happy. And maybe they look so successful. And maybe they just look cool, you know? And you look at them and you're like, man, God must really love them. God must really love them. The reality is that God loves each and every one of you. And here's what I want you to know about that. The greater vision that God has for your life, for your marriage, for your family, for your school, for your job, for everything else in your life, the greater vision that he has for you is not just because he loves you. It's also because he loves others. You know, a greater vision in Saul's life meant salvation and redemption for millions of people. It wasn't just about Saul. Man, Saul, I love you so much. I'm just going to give you this. I love you. And now let's go tell all these other people. Let's begin to pin the revelation of the magnificence of God's grace and the security that we have in Jesus. So I want all these things that God used Paul, also called Saul, during his life. It wasn't just about him. God loved him. God loves others. And I tell you what, when you have a greater vision for your marriage given by God, it's not just about you having a greater marriage. It's about you pouring into your wife, right? It's about you having a greater vision for your neighborhood, not just about you, but so that you can influence the people that live around you and your job in the same way and school in the same way and dads and moms as you get a greater vision for your kids. Man, tell you what, they're going to be the ones that are impacted. They're going to be the ones that are going to be spiritually led. A greater vision that comes from God. And I tell you what, do you need a greater vision in your life? You know, that's between you and God. And you might be thinking, well, Keith, can you just tell us what this greater vision is? It'd be a whole lot easier. All right, like here's your statement. I don't have one. Here's what I know. God is faithful. And when we stop and we submit to him and we begin to seek, God, would you just give me a greater vision? God, I don't want to be satisfied with where I'm at now. God, I want to move forward in you. I want to grow my relationship with you. I want a greater vision for what's possible in this life. God, I want a greater vision for my kids. I don't want to just help them be academically successful and respectful of teachers. I submit to you, God has greater vision for their life than that. All right? God's greater vision for your life. It's going to affect other people. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to close your eyes, just so that you can begin to focus on the Lord and make this personal. This can become very personal to you right now. There was something that Paul had and he didn't have whenever he walked on that Damascus road. He had religion. He didn't have relationship. He was more religious than any of us could ever dream of being. He's religious. He had religion. But he didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ is where it begins. It changes everything. It changes everything. Coming to that place of receiving the salvation of Jesus into your heart where you just humbly say, God, in your own words, I got nothing. I'm broken and I need you. You are the King. I am not. I need forgiveness. I need your salvation. Jesus, I believe in you. I want to ask this morning, before we close, if there's anyone that you just lift up a hand and say, this morning you want to submit your life to Jesus Christ. For the first time in your life, you say, you know, I'm going to submit my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give my heart to him, my all to him. I want to receive his free gift of salvation into my life right now. Anyone here, you just lift up a hand, so love the opportunity to pray with you. But this morning, I want to invite Jesus Christ into my life. You can look up here. This morning, we want to take a moment before we go back into the hustle and bustle of life and all of the things that are happening. We want to take a moment to make an altar right where we're seated. Maybe you want to kneel down, or you want to stand up, or you want to just stay right where you're at, sitting on that pew. But making a prayerful spiritual altar where you stop and say, God, where am I at? God, search my heart. God, do I need a greater vision in an area of my life? Where you humble yourself and say, Jesus, I need you. Would you speak to me? Would you speak to me, God? And when you just seek him. And we're going to take a minute for this because I believe it's important. I believe it can set us on a great road heading into this week of just getting greater vision. And we're not going to have our heads bowed for 3 days. Saul had with no eating, no drinking. Hopefully you won't open your eyes when you're done and you're blind, all right? But I want us to take a moment where we could just get personal with Jesus and say, Jesus, do I need a greater vision? Would you bow your heads and just take a moment? Take a moment. Stop. Make it personal. God, you know me. God, you know me. Help me see where I'm at. Would you please stand? Paul, also called Saul, said at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. And now there's in store for me the crown of life that I will receive from the righteous judge on that day. In the message, it says that Paul stated this in this way. I ran the only race worth running. I ran the only race worth running. We all have vision. God, give us greater vision. Give us greater vision. A vision that we can get up in the morning and be excited about. A vision that affects the people that are around us. So as we leave here today, can I just challenge you with this thought? What if over the next 2 days, everyone in this room, every one of us, took some time to stop, to create a margin, sometime in the next 2 days, to create a margin and just ask the question, God, is there a greater vision for my marriage? Is there a greater vision for my life as a student? Is there a greater vision for my future? Is there, God, what do you want to speak and download into my heart and deposit in me? What if we all did that over the next 2 days? I wonder how that will affect your marriage. I wonder how that's going to affect the guys you work with. I wonder how it's going to affect you and your relationship with Jesus. God, I pray over every one of us that as we leave here today, there will be an excitement in our heart to the adventure that awaits, the dreams, plans, and greater vision that you have envisioned for our lives. We thank you for everyone that is here, that you have chosen for them to be the apple of your eye and for them to be your masterpiece. And so, Lord, reveal to us even more the greater vision that you have for our relationships, for our families, for our jobs, and for the people that we come in contact with. I pray that your blessing will be upon each person, that we will have open hearts and open ears to hear what you would say to us over the next couple of days. God, we love you. Help us to get greater vision. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's have a great week.